hey, high or low, it's just Tim and Mo, and we're back again with a special friend. It's Kaya. Let's go.
I have to do that while.
Hello.
Hey,
it's me, Tim.
Hey, Tim. It's me, Mo.
They knew that.
Not all of them.
Hi, everyone. Sorry for the two-week hiatus. To be frank...
I think it's pronounced hiatus.
No, that's a miata. To be frank, I just didn't want to record for the last 2 weeks, and I chose my mental well-being over doing something I didn't want to do. But that's okay. Mo and Mia talked about it, and he said, sometimes we don't have to go consecutive weeks, and that can feel okay. That being said, let's talk about... No, let's introduce first. So
today we have with us a very special guest.
I know all of you have been waiting for a very long time for someone other than me and Mo to present an idea on Sell Me On Spoon Hats. And you all thought it was going to be Marin, but it's not. We have, drum roll please, Kaya, you want to introduce yourself and say some things and stuff?
Yeah, I'm Kaya. Howdy. What else do you want me to introduce myself as? I could be Frank, like you.
Who's Frank?
You don't said be Frank, to be Kaya. Frank.
Oh, you're to Tam. Be Frank. So. Kaya,
just like a few words of like really sincere, open, honesty, vulnerability about yourself.
Today was the first day that I woke up and my brother spent the night at my house last night.
Oh.
And he smelled so bad. And I don't think I ever want him to stay at my house again because he's very obnoxious and rambunctious. And he stayed up all night playing Rocket League Mobile on his iPad.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Maybe
I got no sleep.
He just gave you an intro to parenthood and...
Yes.
You take away the iPad when it's bedtime.
Yeah, well, I want to be like the cool older brother. You want
to be the cool dad?
How old is your brother?
He's 12.
Okay.
Oof. Yeah.
So he's probably not really into podcasts.
No, not at all.
What if we start talking about Rocket League when he started listening
to us? Oh, yeah, dude. He'd be on that. He'd be like, if we had like trading insights on the market, you know, like to sell skins and things like that.
Oh.
He'd be like, listening every single day, trying to make some kind of profit out of the 20 cents that he has to trade with, because he has no money and he's 12.
He can get a paperboy job, right, at 12?
Yeah.
I don't know how this town works.
I mean, he lives way out in the country, so.
Okay. We try not to say where we're at, so people don't come and murder us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in the country.
Murder-free podcast.
If you guys know where the country is, please do not come and find us.
So if he listens to this one day, is there something you want to tell your brother?
Tighten up, kid.
Tighten up.
Yeah,
that's righty.
It's tough love, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Use deodorant.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I should probably practice that myself before I tell someone else.
He's probably thinking the same thing, like, "Oh man, Kaya smells so bad."
Yeah, that's true.
Kaya works with us. We also say we don't say where we work because we don't want to give any free publicity out. So Kaya works with us, and he's been pining after coming on our podcast. Is that the right way to say that? He's really excited.
He's pining.
Pining?
Pining,
like
yes.
A red pine tree.
Red pining, white pining, yellow pining.
That was for you, Oliver. I don't know if Oliver listens to the podcast.
Full spectrum pining.
But he's been wanting to come on, as many people have been wanting to come on, but we decided to have him on because he has ideas. And it's going to be our first person that me and Mo kind of work together to tear them down, to tear them up.
Dude, rip me apart.
Yeah, we're going to build you up so that we can tear you down.
Okay. Get me really excited. Tell me that you're going to accept my business proposal, and that you're with me on it, and then shut me down.
Sometimes we actually, like, we've looked into some of our businesses before, and doing them. We just haven't, like, completely gone full head in with any of them yet. Mm.
I also want to say, though, on the bring guests on, it's not like we're turning down lots of guests. So if you are interested in coming on the podcast,
I mean, yeah,
all you need is an idea. That's it.
You do. there's a lot of people who want to be on the podcast, but then don't come. So, I don't know.
Follow through.
Yeah.
Let's do a quick recap of our last 2 weeks, and then we'll just start in with Kaya's ideas. Mo, you want to say some things? Or Kaya? Your past 2 weeks, how were those?
Yeah, I'll give a little recap on my past 2 weeks. Since I've stopped recording the podcast, I've had plenty of free time. So I've picked up playing pickleball. Mm-hmm. And, it's a good sport. A lot of elderly people, not elderly, but like over 60 probably at the Y playing.
And Carlos.
And Carlos, our good friend. If you're a real fan, you have heard about Carlos
just
from a previous
briefly.
Episode. Yeah.
When he infiltrated your sauna.
If you listen very closely, you will pick up some more info on Carlos.
Okay.
That's it. Tim, how's your week been?
The last 2 weeks, because we've been gone for two. As I said before, I was taking a very mental health break, just giving myself time to do whatever I wanted to do. And not saying that I didn't want to do this, but I didn't in the moment. I've been working a lot. Work is crazy. And yeah, we just went and played Topgolf.
Ooh.
We went and played Topgolf on Friday. We went to Dave and Buster's beforehand.
There's a Dave and Buster's here?
No, there's also not a Topgolf here. Oh. We went an hour away.
Gotcha.
In South Carolina to play Topgolf.
Cool.
The whole house went.
Yeah, it was super fun just to whack stuff.
Yeah.
That's
you got a lot of built up like aggression?
Liam is surprisingly very finesse with a golf club. Like, he was dropping them in like crazy. Have you been to Topgolf before?
No. Or Dave and Buster's, never.
Both of them are so much fun.
Yeah, it's on the bucket list for sure.
Next time we go, you'll be invited.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Kaya, you have words to say?
Well, I went down to Florida, spent some time on the beach in February, which, you know, isn't the best time to spend time on the beach, but...
It's warmer than here.
I still jumped in the water, got really cold, and jumped right out, screamed like a little girl.
Nice.
Went fishing, didn't catch any fish. I got a sunburn.
I guess.
Can you say that in past tense? How do you say sunburn in past tense? Sunburn?
I got sunburned.
I got sunburned. Well, that happened. And
sounds like it wasn't a good trip.
No, like, honestly, I missed all those things, you know?
Screaming like a little girl.
Yeah, yeah. That one especially. And I hung out with my cousins, some family, and it was his birthday, so we were very intoxicated through most of the weekend. But it was good. And then came back and I worked for a week straight.
Nice. Nice. You're just picking you up pretty quiet, so I'm going to project a little bit more. Make a little shuffling noises. I apologize, everyone.
Shuffle, shuffle. Get my face super, super close to the mic. Hello, people.
We're doing ASMR now.
So, Kaya.
We can.
Yeah, ASMR section. Tim talks very, very calmly. Very.
I do. I have a very monotone voice in pretty much all aspects of my life.
I'd say we all have very monotone voices. Is that bad?
No, Mo's is pretty soothing on the recording itself.
But... I was going to say that about yours.
Thank you.
Thank you. Doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor.
But Kai, I hear you are coming in with three ideas today.
Yes.
We'll see if we get through all of them, but we're going to do our best.
They're all amazing, and if you turn me down, then one of these investors on the podcast that listen, they're going to pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
We've got competition.
Lots of competition.
Doing any... Thinking about the recap for any of our other businesses, I don't think we have... Anything up? I know. Okay. You want to talk about the email?
Yeah, I do. Because actually, you don't know about this either. So I got this email on... We got an email.
On our... Say it.
On Sell Me On Spot sellmeonspoonhats@gmail.com, mm-hmm. which is our podcast email. And you can send us emails there, and we will...
read them.
We will read them and mm-hmm. respond. Mm-hmm. And I got this email, and it was very well worded and very complimentary about the podcast, which is wonderful. And it was signed Itamar. And I have a friend named Itamar. I didn't know that he listened to the podcast, but I reached out, and he, in fact, does not listen to the podcast. So then...
No way.
I was confused, and I thought about it, and I had told my dad about the podcast that week, so I called him up on a whim and asked him if he happened to have sent us an email signed Itamar, and he did. So that was actually from my dad.
Why did he sign it Itamar?
What?
That's his...
His alias?
Like, his podcast emailing alias, apparently.
I'm very confused.
Yeah, I was too. So he, in Israel, he met a boy many years ago named Itamar.
Could it be your friend?
It's possible.
That'd be wild.
That would be wild.
What?
But he was channeling the energy of this boy from Israel that he met back when he lived in Israel.
Your next question to your friend Itamar is to ask if you ever met a weird dude from Philadelphia.
Mm. Yeah. And
is his name also Itamar? The weird dude from Philadelphia?
The weird dude is my dad. To be clear, we're not calling my dad a weird dude.
No, we're not. We're not calling
him a weird dude. No, he's awesome. I like him.
He does listen.
Hello, Itamar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, plot twist on that.
Your toes. Sorry. Right. You can take your shoes off.
You can touch my toes, Dan.
Is that true for both of us?
You don't have to wear your shoes.
I guess.
All right. Is there any other news? We didn't put up a website. We didn't do anything else important. We'll put up the Instagram post after the episode's done. And, that way, we don't know what it's going to be yet for the Instagram post, but the Easter egg will be in there.
It's going to be a picture of my toes.
Probably not. It's usually around the business space. We don't want any weird dudes.
Maybe they'll be, like, in the background. Like,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Okay. So basically, I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready, Kai?
Yeah.
So, definitely. We'll probably just jump into it, where we'll let you pick out whichever one you want to do first, and we'll ask you to do an intro.
An intro. Okay. First one off the top of my head that is not too crazy. Just something I was thinking of the other day in the car. Also, little background before I start with the idea. I really like clothing. I might not look like it, but I do like clothing. I've always wanted to make clothing. This year, I'm thinking about getting a sewing machine, starting to sew my own clothes, things like that.
Nice.
And there's all these different materials you can use to make clothes, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people cutting up old stuff to make new stuff and reconstructing, like, blankets and towels and whatnot to make clothing.
Totally.
I think that's really cool. I like that stuff. But I would like to make a new material.
Oh, okay. Going really out there.
Yeah. And I spend a lot of time outdoors, mm-hmm. and I spend a lot of time cold.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I have very bad circulation.
Me too.
Don't fall in a lake when you're a young child. That's frozen.
Or be skinny.
Or be tall. Just don't be tall. If you can help it, don't be tall.
Takes a long time for your blood to get to your fingertips.
This is not helpful advice.
Anyway,
start your growth.
I'm trying to, you know, give you some life lessons
here. Heavyweights.
But yeah, so I want to make a new material, and it's a material that's based off of something that already exists.
Yeah.
And that thing that already exists is corduroys.
Mm,
so okay. I really like corduroys, probably like one of my favorite things to wear, a corduroy jacket or pants or anything like that.
Have you watched the movie?
What, Corduroy?
Yeah.
The little boy in Corduroy? The
little bear.
Isn't that like a Nazi movie or something?
I guess the boy in striped pajamas.
Oh, okay. No, so, no. I have not watched either of those. Well, I have watched the one, but...
Yeah.
Anyways. All right.
You do not support anti-Semitism.
So you've got corduroys,
right? I don't think
right?
the movie's anti-Semitic.
And then you take the corduroys, and you do the exact same pattern. You know how it kind of, like, divots in and then comes out and has little ridges in it? And that's why it's so, like, the texture is so nice to feel?
Yeah, it's a very nice texture.
I would like to make fleece corduroys. So using the same exact... you know, material that fleece is, but then stitch it or cut it in a pattern that is divoted and has, like, you know, the ups and downs of corduroy. And I would make corduroy pants, corduroy jackets, but out of fleece corduroy. Mm. Because fleece corduroy would make it a lot warmer to wear, that you could wear year round. You could have base layer fleece corduroys, you could have over layer fleece corduroys, whatever, thicker or thinner, however you like to have it. You could have your whole entire outfit all be fleece corduroy if you really want. I just think that it would be like a stylish thing to have. Also, it would still be very functional outdoors, and it would still like keep your internal temperature to the right degree.
How do you plan to make the fleece into a corduroy type feel?
I guess we would take out sheets of fleece and we would have to somehow strip small little tiny lines with this machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you take out lines, like micro lines of the fleece that's already there.
Yeah.
And that would kind of create its own corduroy pattern, because you have, when you look at corduroy pants,
it is either, it's a rounded cord, rib, or whale surface formed by a cut pile of yarn.
It's crazy that you just had that off the top.
Sorry,
of your
can
head.
I see that?
Yeah.
It's just defining corduroy.
Defining how corduroy, what corduroy is.
Rounded cord. Okay, so then we could create fleece cordage.
Yeah.
Right?
That's probably where you want to start. So, like, corduroy is made from any of the major textile fibers, which is mm-hmm. fleece as well, and with one warp or two fillings. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's just the back of the goods is a plain or till weave.
Gotcha. So I would have the thinnest, thin sheet of, like, micro fleece, and I would lay it out. And then I would take thicker cordage that is also composed of fleece.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would stitch that in to the micro fleece layer in a way to where it's vertically, like, you know, going up and down with, like, very little space in between. I don't know. But if you were to make that product, I feel like you'd be tapping into a whole market, let alone just, like, putting it on Instagram. It's one of those things where, like, it would be the stylish, trendy thing to look at on Instagram. I could totally imagine right now just, like, flipping through my Instagram, seeing some sponsored posts from some clothing maker that had made fleece corduroy and be, like, pretty interested in it. I just haven't seen it yet, so I'd want to be, like, the first person to get that out there.
Yeah, it's for, like, outdoorsy people, right? Because it can get wet. Fleece can get wet. Corduroy can't really get wet and maintain warmth.
Right, right. And it's a fragile material, usually. Like, people aren't bringing their corduroys out hiking.
Yeah.
I'd say it would be more of, like, something you'd keep underneath, like, a shell or something. Or, like, I don't know, a jacket that would protect maybe, like, the vest or the smaller jacket underneath. But I do think that if you're inside and whatnot, you take it off, it's going to look good.
Yeah.
Another thing is, like, fleece is basically, like, plastic bags that are, like, meshed up into pulp and then pressed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, it's a great material, but there's that concern that you're, like, then just, like, spreading out little bits of plastic into the world from your fleece. But I'm imagining in this corduroy thing where we've got, like, a cord and we're wrapping it up, like, maybe that's even improved on just the concept of fleece to start with, because
that's true.
You're, like, containing it more. It sounds like a denser sort of situation.
That's true, and it can also be 100% recycled plastic at the same time. So if anything does get wasted, it would have already been wasted to start with.
Yeah, we have a pretty big history about like conservation and integrating like some way to better the earth and recycle using our products that we present. So that would be where I would probably start with it, like if we're going to do it with fleece, that being the warmest
right
way to do it, then I would want it to have some sort of conservation aspect.
Okay.
One question I have, are you at all worried that Big Corduroy is going to see this and come after you?
I hope so, and I hope they approach me with a business offer to buy it out, because I'd love to see it everywhere, because I would continue to purchase it.
A man after my own heart.
Yeah. What? Selling your business to Big Corduroy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to be the one, you know, little business that's making it and refusing to, like, share it with other people. I'd like everyone to take it and be stylish with it in their own creative way.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So corduroy is just like a relatively difficult material to work with. What is your plan to start?
Like, to start?
So you're planning on purchasing the fabric, putting it together, stitching it yourself?
No.
Okay.
Definitely not.
Okay, what are you doing?
I'd probably sub it all out to other people, like freelancers or people with machine shops that already work in textile
mm-hmm.
factories and can create something like this. I would just give them my vision and my idea, and hope
your vision
that
needs to be backed by money.
That's
where,
true.
Where are you getting your capital
from? You.
From me.
Yeah.
So me not being an actual angel investor, think of a different way to come about, like presenting that to a board of textile.
Yeah. So all jokes aside, probably I'd use a startup to try and generate some capital. Those generally don't work very well, especially on a small scale.
Basically,
whenever. What?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just like if you yourself just post something on like social media of a startup and don't really say much, and it's like a GoFundMe, you're not going to make that much money. Maybe a few people will share it. Maybe I'll make like $3,000 or something. That's not enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I could create a business already before I even sell the idea.
Okay.
Start a business account on social media, on Facebook.
You just
start advertising something, you know,
yeah.
get some investors there to
mm-hmm.
back my funding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to talk the talk to actually like get things out there. That can be risky because if it fails, you have all these investors coming after you.
Yeah, you just have to give your money back.
Yeah. And I'd figure out a way to do
depending
it.
On where you put that money.
That's if I go full sale with it. And right now it's completely just an idea. But
it's on the ground up. Yeah.
There's lots of people, lots of investors out there that are willing to put their money into the fashion industry.
Yeah.
Because it is a very popular thing. So I guess I'd reach out that way.
Another idea as far as like getting it out there is because this is like an outdoor, like you're marketing to the outdoor market.
Yeah.
You could like take it to outdoor companies and be like, you know, this is something that we could have for your staff. And then you get people who are already in the outdoor industry to start wearing it. You could even like give it free to people who
like
are working in the outdoor
ambassadors.
Industry. Yeah.
First things
yeah.
first, I think, is you're going to have to make one by yourself.
Yeah.
You
and
have
I,
to make
I
one
would.
By yourself and then market it that way. You could do cold calls, like Mo just said, to like different outfitters and businesses.
Yeah.
Which
so,
there's buckets of them.
I could probably just pay, though, like somebody to make that sample for me.
Absolutely.
It would cost a lot less than for me to just like go full sale with the business and try and get some big deal with a quantity of like 10,000, you know, jackets to start.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd probably do that, yeah.
Okay. What's the hook? What's the branding behind it? What are you calling it? Does it have special colors? Does it have something that's appealing for people to think, wow, that looks cool. I want one.
Well, I haven't really thought about names, but I did just try to put both the names together, and it turned out to be Florida Roy, but, you know, nobody in Florida is really going to buy it. Maybe in, like, January and February. It's not a bad name.
No, it rolls off the tongue pretty well. Florida Roy.
Yeah.
It's like, kind of like the Lacoste logo with a little alligator.
I don't know if I want to generate this to that, like... demographic as much.
Florida?
Yeah.
Did you reject Coeur d'Alice?
Coeur d'Alice? No, that's very nice too. I might name my daughter that. No, I could go with that, and it's not really corresponding with any states or anything like that. Like,
Dad, how did I get my name?
Well, let me tell you.
Let me tell you. Your daddy tried to start a business here.
I was a creative man back in the day, before I had you. I'm all washed out. No ideas.
Okay.
I would start a business, but you're my business.
Right. So that's...
Anything else to catch the eye? Like, Coeur d'Alice is nice.
Coeur d'Alice is good. I like Coeur d'Alice, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Or we could call it Quarter Roy, and every single jacket that is sold or product that is sold under the company, we donate one quarter of the profit to some kind of organization.
It'd be a homeless organization to deal with like coats and stuff.
Yeah.
Could be environmental organization because we're already like trying to reuse plastics.
We're already reusing plastics. We don't need to give more back to the environment.
And just in the name, you know, like people would be, they would see it. They wouldn't know what you're talking about, but it would be like already giving off like the environmentalist kind of like save the world thing.
We have quite
people
a
would see it
that.
Right.
Yeah.
They open your website, and the first thing that you put up there, besides like pictures of your clothing, is that a quarter of the profits are donated to all these organizations.
Ooh, or if it's Coeur d'Alice, it could also be Quarter Lease, and you can actually lease one of these shirts for a quarter, and then you return it.
That is true, but I don't know.
That is not a good.
I don't want to get into that because then I'm gonna get a bunch of product back that's probably gonna be mangled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How much
very warm
does a coat cost?
$75.
Why?
Because it's not too high and it's not too low for outdoor gear. I think that a lot of times people pay upwards of like $150 to $350, $400 for a nice, you know, outerwear jacket. Yes, this is like a smaller base layer kind of thing. Maybe thicker for some stuff. It's not going to be like this huge jacket that you're going to bring into Patagonia or anything. But it will still keep you warm underneath those outer layers. And I feel like you go to REI and people are selling like long sleeve t-shirts for $80. So it's still a pretty good price for the market.
Okay.
Considering now, I don't know how well that's gonna do with the.
It looks like there's a wide
wholesale
margin.
Cost.
Yeah, it looks like there's a wide margin of like corduroy jackets and like the quality of them. There's a sport coat that I just looked at. It's $435, and then there's another jacket that's $22.
Yeah.
So it probably depends on the level of like material that you're actually using. What do you think your margins would be? Just an estimate. So how much does it cost to make one?
I'd say probably.
This is including
35% of the retail price.
Okay. Because you're looking to make a profit no matter what.
Yeah, but I'm also not looking to like
gouge your
gouge anybody. Yeah, I want anything that I would make to be attainable by not just 30 and 40 year olds that finally have their shit together, but 20 year olds too, or you know, people that are teenagers, whatever. Someone who, as like the first time you get a job, your first job, you should be able to save enough money and buy it. If that's what you
pretty
really
sure
want.
This is corduroy.
I think it is. It's like really, really tight knit corduroy though.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I don't know why, I just thought of a Family Guy sketch where they turn the whole room into Tweed. That's not what we're talking about. Tweed is not what we're talking about. Okay, so even if your margins are so small that you're getting maybe $10 after cost, like, that eventually adds up.
Yeah.
What is your overall goal with making the business, and where do you think it'll end up if you started right now and you had the capital to do that?
I wouldn't invest all of my time and my whole life around the business. I would probably make it so that either I can run it efficiently while also doing other things and aspiring to, like, recreate my own other ideas that I have here today. But I would invest at least a big chunk of time in the beginning, and then if it doesn't work out for me in the future, I'd probably sell it to someone else. Or a big corduroy, yeah. Just give it to them.
Kaufman corduroy.
Yeah. Sell it for a big chunk of change, maybe a quarter million.
Nice. Do you have any ending questions?
No, I'm ready to give an evaluation.
Cool.
Let's turn away from Kai.
Oh, God.
Kai, if you got to give some little jibber jabber while we... Mm. Deliberate.
Maybe sing.
Maybe sing.
Let's see. No, I'm not gonna sing. I'd rather you guys just whisper in the background. These guys look so weird right now. You guys need your own corner.
Hey.
What? Sorry. They're too close to me.
Maybe we should take the microphone over here to our...
Why don't we go to
Liberation. Okay, so hello everybody. So now that he can't hear us, what we're talking about...
We're talking about how the feasibility of the, like, creating this manufacturing process is the biggest obstacle.
He definitely can hear what you just said.
Nah, he's got bad hair.
It's like a bat. Yeah, and then the fashion world is very difficult to get into, but I think he has a good idea integrating it into the outdoor world.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do 7 out of 10 on this one. Yeah, 7 out of 10.
Like 5 on feasibility and 9 on like the
marketability. Sure,
maybe.
Yeah, it's worth. Yeah, I'll just come up with a number in my head a little bit. All right, come back,
All right, rip me apart.
All right, Mo, you want to start?
So, Kaya, we have heard your idea. We've thought about it.
Okay.
We really like the idea. We really like the idea of the material. Corduroy is a great textural material. Really appeals.
Strong, durable, good for wintertime.
Gotcha.
Fleece is cheap, environmentally positive, beneficial, and we really like the combination of those two things.
Okay.
However, the... inventing this material, like coming up with this manufacturing process and figuring out how to make it and making it efficiently, we believe is going to be a challenge for you. Mm-hmm. So on feasibility, we've given you a 5 out of 10.
Okay. For marketability, we've decided to give you a 9 out of 10, mostly because we think if you put the time and effort in towards the beginning, I think you would be able to probably... once you get the product up and moving, I don't think it would take much for companies to take it and get to buy units and to be in stores and to eventually get sold to a bigger company. If that's what you decided to do with it, I think you could make a cool chunk of change.
Okay.
So a 9 for marketability. For what it's worth, could be anywhere probably from like $10,000 to like $500,000 if you put the time and effort into it. I don't know if you would go much over that.
Okay. $500,000. Congratulations, Kaya.
You're
rich.
That's the top end. Like, that's what you probably
I want a million,
for.
So.
Well,
I just
for
think
that,
that's
you're
probably
going to need your second idea.
Ooh, well, second idea.
Do you need a second to breathe? Get some water? No?
Do you?
No, I'm good. I'm just eating my pizza.
This is like, That was my very reasonable idea. Get ready to hear some more, like, unreasonable ideas.
Okay.
But also very exciting.
Awesome. So, coming into the second idea, we're going to have you pitch it a little bit differently.
You can do whatever you want.
Nope. So...
No, I'm saying you do whatever you want.
Oh, okay. I do.
You tell them whatever you want to do. I don't care.
So, this idea, you are trying to pitch to a classroom of five-year-olds. So... You gotta explain it as if we are 5 years old.
Okay.
And we just got up from nap time, so we're still a little sleepy.
All right. Good morning, guys.
Are we acting?
My name's Kaya.
Mr. Kaya?
Yes.
I pooped myself.
You have a question? Oh, you pooped yourself. Well, your teacher, Miss Dorothy, will handle that. Miss Dorothy, would you take care of this child? Thank you.
Absolutely not.
Anyways, as I was saying, class, while I still have your attention, I know you guys just woke up from a nap, so you're very tired. Here, drink some water. I've got some goldfish, too.
I don't want no water.
It's Flavor Blast goldfish.
So. Were you here the whole time we were napping?
No.
Were you watching me nap?
I would never watch you while you sleep. I'm not your father. Anyways.
Daddy!
Johnny doesn't have a father.
Oh my god.
Well, what a crowd. Anyways, as I was saying, kids, I have something very fun and exciting, something that all of you guys should have one day, something that's going to make fun go to a whole new level. I'm talking super fun. I'm talking super exciting. I'm talking big blast waves of fun.
Super soaker?
Better. Way better.
A wave rider?
You guys are all wearing this product right now.
Pants.
Shoes. Okay, so you've got your shoes on, right?
No, why would we be wearing shoes while we're napping?
Well, what do those shoes do for you?
They make me fast.
They make you fast.
Keep my feet warm? Well,
these will make you faster.
These will make you faster?
Yes.
Faster?
They will make you a lot faster.
Faster than Tim?
Way faster than Tim.
I beat
and
by
your
like
teacher, Miss Dorothy.
Miss Dorothy's a...
Well, good thing you bleeped that out. Anyways, so when I was a kid, we had these things, and they were called Heelys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we were kids, they had Heelys, too.
We are kids.
But you're 5 years old. There's no Heelys.
I'm a grown-ass five-year-old.
You are, surprisingly. You have a very nice beard for a five-year-old. Anyways, as I was saying... We had these things. They were called Heelys. And you could pop a little wheel, like for a skateboard, into the bottom of your shoe. Well, let's pretend that Heelys were never a thing, okay?
Yeah.
Now you just
I was
got
really
your
bad
shoes.
At Heelys anyway.
Yeah.
You just got
so
I just
was
got
I totally busted my face in the
Yeah, it's not
a
easy
few times.
Shit's not easy.
This it's good on like airports, but not anything bumpy.
This is a lot harder, guys. A lot harder. But I believe in you, and I think that you guys could aspire to be very
shoe
good.
Shoe ripsticks.
Shoe riders.
Shoe riders?
So
is that what it's called?
No, it's not called shoe rider. Get ready. It is called Shee. Alright, so that's literally what it's called.
Shee.
They're shoe skis.
Shoe skis.
Instead of popping a wheel
Why
into
Why aren't they called shoe skis?
No. They're shoes / skis which make shee. So you can ride past people saying shee.
Can you spell that, please?
It's S-H-I-I.
Shee. Two eyes. Got it.
Yeah, because there's two eyes. No, there's not. There's one eye in ski, but we put an extra eye in she's because...
You keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah, gotta keep your eye on the prize, and...
There's no eye in team.
There's no eye in team, but there is in she's. So, anyways, imagine your shoe, and then imagine a really nice plate that is the same material as the bottom of a ski or a snowboard that you pop into... the back of your shoes whenever you get out of school and there's a snowstorm happening and you don't feel like waiting around the pickup circle any longer. You just want to go home. You just want to shee all the way home. So,
can I interject?
Yes.
You know snowshoes exist?
Snowshoes don't do the same thing.
Okay.
You wax these, okay?
Got it.
And they have a little lip, all right, in the front, so that the snow doesn't catch the shoe, so that you can still glide down the snow and ride the snow like skis. And they are very fast.
So these are just cross-country skis that you don't that you clip onto your normal shoes.
They're
rather
portable.
Than...
You keep the ski bottoms or whatever, the platform that you snap into the bottom of the shoe, you keep them in your backpack.
How long is this platform?
How long is the platform?
Like, is it full ski length or is this a mini ski?
It's a mini ski. Let's say both the front and the back are curved just enough so that...
That's what I'm drawing.
The snow doesn't, like... go into the shoe as much.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get them in a range of styles. You can get low tops, mid tops, high tops. I'd recommend the high tops if you're in a like higher elevated place where you get a lot more snow. Let's say you're just up in Tennessee or, you know, over in Virginia and you guys get a little bit of snow here and there, but nothing too crazy, but just enough snow to where like you're not going to be sinking in it. Get the low tops. That's the way to go.
Cool.
Yeah.
So for all our listeners out there in Virginia,
yeah,
low tops.
Low top. Well, maybe mid tops. Depends on what part of Virginia you're in.
Yeah. Shenandoah.
Shenandoah, get the mid tops.
Cool.
When they're available.
Yeah. Is that your pitch?
That is my pitch, yeah.
Okay, I'm almost done drawing.
It's the Heelys of... the skiing and snowboarding world.
Are you a big skier?
No, not at all.
Have you ever cross-country skied?
Nope, not once.
Okay. So, right off the bat, I have a concern that I want to voice, which is that, like, I've cross-country skied a few times. I'm not an expert, but you really want, like, when you're cross-country skiing, personally, I've found you really want that whole length because you're trying to, like, slide on... a surface that it's not super easy to slide on.
I've been going back a little bit further.
Okay. Maybe you could widen the platform out a little bit, too.
Like out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know our audio-only listeners can't see what's going on, and our visual listeners don't exist, so...
Those look like ice skates.
So, yeah, what we're looking at is we're looking at a shoe with... on the bottom, there's, like, clips like you would have on, like, a bike shoe that clips into your pedal. And it's clipping into a skate,
it's like
a ski
slide
that
slide
ends,
snaps
into a ski that ends at the front of the shoe but goes a few inches past the back of the shoe.
I was thinking kind of like Santa's sled.
Okay. I like that. We could sell a lot of these at Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because they're going to break pretty much directly after.
Okay.
We're going for durability, right?
Yeah. I mean, these are like
carbon
the thickness fiber. Of a snowboard and a ski. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I just have qualms about this working, especially in a situation... Like, it would work on, like, ice or really hard snow,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure. But, like, especially in a situation like it just... You're at school, it just snowed, and you're looking at powder. With that little surface area, I'm afraid you're just... gonna sink right into it.
Okay.
I've never skied a day in my life.
Well, I will say that with the platform on, it probably wouldn't be that hard to walk still with the shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So you could probably get a running start. You know, when you're a kid and you used to go slide on patches of ice in the road, it's the same concept,
mm-hmm.
just like in the snow. Big powder days, maybe not, but on the days when you don't have powder and you're not out skiing and sledding and snowboarding, you could probably totally ride these down your backyard,
mm-hmm.
and have a lot of fun.
Have a different idea.
Make them circles, like bowls, like a sled.
Ah. Bowling shoes.
No! No. Like the little disc bowls.
Yeah.
Make them for your feet. That way you have a 360 degree round where you can just start going and shoo, shoo, shoo.
It'd be shee.
So I just want to describe that shoe that you just drew. It's like, have you ever seen those running shoes that are very like rounded on the bottom?
Yeah, for old
people. This one's like.
Yeah, it's like old people's running shoes.
Gotcha. Like, put this circle on your shoe.
That would be hard to walk in.
So you're like...
It's a lower curve to it.
It's like a shoe in a mixing bowl.
Yeah.
So it like snaps in, right? And then it's pretty still like low profile, but it just curves up over the whole shoe.
Enough. And so this is for ice sliding? Is that what we're talking about?
I guess.
Snow sliding. Sliding. But in like...
When the
snow is harder, you know? It's a lot easier to use these, I'd say. I didn't say this was a perfect idea. Okay?
I'm imagining when you said you got a running head start.
I need them sized for my feet, but honestly...
Well, imagine that your shoe... Fit.
Tim is now walking around in mixing bowls.
I think, honestly, that could work. Because if you make it the diameter of your foot, so it's going to have to be tailor-made.
Okay.
So, I need it to be a little bit bigger than that. I don't have a cleaner mixing bowl.
When you were talking about the Healy idea, like the running and sliding, I was picturing it's like Healy's where you can sort of run on the front of your foot,
right,
and the ski's more like on the back.
Yeah.
So then you just like, you put your toe up and you slide.
Yeah.
So if it was like sort of slanted on like the back maybe, and you sort of like go back on your heels and then you have a ski.
Okay.
Another thing that might work is, you know how flippers are?
Yeah, they're for like
pretty
diving.
Long. Yeah. It's like that, but if the front's really long, you can probably run on the front enough, just like Achilles, and then lean back.
Mm.
I don't know.
So it's
I
like
guess
a
now
flipper
we're talking
ski.
About a much bigger platform.
So you can take this on the snow, to school, in the water.
What was that? There's a commercial
not
came
water
on when we were kids
yeah.
of that. There's that... RC car that could do mud, snow, water, anything you want, flies.
Every RC car, they said, did that, and then you got it, and it would break the next day.
But this one looked like a little tank.
Yeah. Okay.
You do the mud, snow, water, and it was like $100.
Mm.
Or like four installments of $19.99 on whatever.
Oh, it was like the as seen on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. I never saw that one. I always wanted a mini tank that shot like little BBs.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't still want one, but I used to.
Take one to work with you.
So what do you guys think about this idea? Is it worth it? It's more of a joke, I'd say.
I think it's kind of gimmicky, but honestly, I don't think it'd be hard to make.
Right?
Yeah.
And
I don't know if it would work.
Okay.
I don't know if the skis would work. I think the sphere, like the half circle, would work way better.
It'd be super easy to make because people break their snowboards and their skis all the time and they're cut in half or snapped. You don't need the full length of a ski or a snowboard, so you can just snap in. You know, you can cut out with a bandsaw the section of the ski that forms to the size of shoes that you want to actually attach it to. You just have to make some kind of mount. But there's lots of already universal mounts out there. You just have to embed it into the shoe in a way where it wasn't uncomfortable.
I'll just bolt some Velcro in there and we'll be fine.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, like, the sample product would be super fast and easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is actually a product that I would very much want to have. Like,
yeah.
Just to, like, take it out and just try sliding down hills. Mm-hmm. Just...
Okay. With that being said, I think it would probably end up hurting people, get a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, and probably advertising it to all these kids to do it at school isn't a great idea.
Yeah.
You kind of...
I said you... I didn't know what the idea was.
You set me up for that, but... I tried.
I think, honestly, I think you would have definitely convinced a group of five-year-olds to get this.
I'm so ready! Dorothy!
I did convince my 12-year-old brother, so...
Nice.
He's ready for his first...
Immediately thought of, like, moon shoes.
Moon shoes?
Yeah. Moon shoes are just, like, these big pillowy shoes that you strap onto your shoes already, and they help you jump higher.
Oh, yeah.
Like trampoline shoes.
Yeah, those are cool.
They don't work.
Oh, really?
No.
I was thinking, as soon as you said moon shoes, of, like,
Moon sand?
Moon sand, right? But like
the kinetic sand.
The inside of the shoe is like moon sand. Ooh. I don't know.
It's like, I'm imagining that's good for your feet. Like they tell you to run on sand, it's good for your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You just have sand in your shoe.
You'd be probably really uncomfortable the first time
my feet
bought the shoe.
Good.
Afterwards, it'd be pretty like hard as a rock. But
I don't like running on sand.
No?
It doesn't make me feel good.
Well, it impacts the bones in your legs a lot more, just like if you ran barefoot on the road. But if you run on dirt or grass, there's some, like, cushion there, because, like, the actual dirt...
The earth's heart is beating.
Yeah. You know what I mean. All right, so you shutting it down, or are you going with it?
Moke!
It sounds like fun.
Okay.
I don't know that the market that you're selling it to, like people who just like carrying them around, getting ready for like whenever it snows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's going to work in that situation. I think it would be more like a very fun and dangerous hobby for people who like seek out places
like
where
Ripstick.
There would be good
Ashley.
Sliding.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley's really good at ripsticking.
Well, you can just put them in your car, too. You don't have to carry them around in a bag. You can just, like,
depends
drive
if
you're
a kid or not.
It's
not every kid.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
Depending on if this was 2005, yeah, I think he would have made a lot of money. Today, kids don't want to go outside. They don't want to do anything. They'll do sports. Because
nothing's fun, but these are.
You're gonna see you skiing outside. You're the only one you see. You're like, come on, kids, it looks really fun.
I'm playing Fortnite.
Feasibility. No, you're doing feasibility. I'm not, because I don't know a damn thing about skiing.
Feasibility. I think it's feasible. I think you could make a short ski and clip it onto a shoe.
Okay.
I'll give you 8 out of 10 for feasibility.
Oh. Okay.
Marketability. I'm going to stick with a nice, cool 6.5.
That's not bad.
Just because the day and age isn't there for it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Worth? I don't know. Like, again, if it was 2005, probably make a cool, swift 6 figures.
Yeah.
I'd be impressed if you made $1,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I could just, like, open up a stand at the flea market and make $1,000 probably in, like, a month.
Probably.
At least. But, yeah. I got you.
Okay.
I understand.
Yeah. I think your market is in, like, Alaska. I know that in Alaska, it's, like, winter is, like, 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, they're looking for any snow sport they can get their hands on. So.
Cool. Maybe I'll move up there.
Yeah.
They play snocker.
Snocker?
Snow soccer.
Oh, that's cool. With skis?
I don't know.
Oh.
Definitely snowshoes.
There's a game.
Okay, let's move into your final idea.
Alright, this is the best one.
This is the best one.
All
You're giving it a lot of hype.
You ready?
Yeah.
You guys like food, right?
We do like food.
I like
food.
Yeah, I like food too. What is up with Lunchables?
Yeah, what's up?
They're terrible.
They're crap.
People pay $5 for this little, tiny, like, I don't even know if it's real dough, but it's like a little circle, and then they give you that cold marinara or pizza sauce to put on it, and one pepperoni, and like shredded fake cheese. And people love it. All these kids want it so bad. I don't see adults eating them. Maybe there's a few, but there's not
I've
a
thought
lot.
About buying a Lunchable and then realizing I wouldn't enjoy it.
Right. Like, they make it really advertisable because they have all these cute little penguins or, like, some cool kid, like, surfing a wave.
That's kid
on
cuisine.
It. Yeah, okay, kid cuisine, same thing. Anyways, I'm talking Whole Foods. I'm talking, like, Fresh Market. I'm talking Trader Joe's. Let's say you make something better than a Lunchable, but same concept. Let's say farm to table Lunchables.
Ooh.
Let's say you have a bunch of farms working together that create these gourmet meals that come in a box. and they have their own little instruction. You scan the code, so no paper or anything, no waste there. Scan the code on your phone. It's got elaborate instructions on how to do it, and it keeps you very engaged on the process. It's not just like slap the sauce and then slap the pepperoni on it. It's more than that. You can cook them at home. Also, though, there's a whole nother branch of these farm-to-table Lunchables that you can make cold, but let's say you get little packets, right, of cilantro or like little packets of peanuts to garnish your meal with, things like that. So it's going to be healthy, organic, most likely. These are probably going to cost like $15 a box, not $5 a box. But it's something that adults can enjoy and kids as well whenever their rich parents send them to school with bougie packed lunches.
I want you to bring that cost down. I think Lunchables are so appealing is because they're an affordable lunch piece.
Okay.
So figuring out how to bring that cost down is important. I just looked up Lunchables. It's owned by Kraft Heinz. So.
Okay.
That being said, I did not notice this, but there was the great Lunchable shortage of 2021.
Ah.
That's when you needed to get in the market, Kai.
I know. I already missed my mark.
There was a supply chain issue for about everything, and they played a role, but not as big as one as you may think, so maybe not. But there's a lot of questions of, like, why can't I find Lunchables? Okay. They also have Lunchables uploaded, which is basically just like a macaroni and cheese bite with a fruit roll-up and a Dasani water bottle.
Okay.
What percent of the kids do you think mix their fruit roll-up into the mac and cheese?
Oh, at least
some gross kid.
10 to 15%.
15%.
Someone's doing it, okay?
Yeah, for sure. Someone's
doing it. His name's Kyle.
Someone's wrapping the mac and cheese in the fruit roll-up like a burrito.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do it.
Yes.
I have questions too.
Okay. Ask a question.
Okay. What? So you have the pizza? That's one of your SKUs. Do you have other SKUs?
I wasn't really thinking pizza much. I was thinking we could go with a lot of different like varieties of food. We could do Indian, we could do Mediterranean, we could do Italian, we could do American. Mediterranean, there's a lot of cold foods that are amazing and gourmet that you can package for people who are just on the go that don't have time to heat this up or something or cook it at home. Because we're not really talking like, what's that company that they send you all the food in the box and you make
there's
it?
There's a couple of them. HelloFresh.
HelloFresh. It's not like that.
Home Kitchen and stuff like that.
This is a lot faster process and less steps, but still very like intriguing and gets you.
You can purchase it at the grocery store.
Yeah, you still get excited about putting it together.
This is a disassembled, high quality farm to table meal that you assemble yourself but don't have to cook.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah, definitely.
You could do two levels. You could do a level of you should put in a microwave or a toaster oven and then like a level of cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if they came in like solar boxes that somehow you press the button, it was like a one use only, but they cooked your meal outside?
Looked into the battery powering small devices that can then heat something up.
I guess it's time to bring him up, but there's this man named Science Steve.
Oh yeah, that guy.
That guy tagged me in a meme the other day. I was pretty proud.
Good guy.
Yeah, good guy. He has an eco stove, which you burn.
Oh, it's a is it an eco stove?
Is it a solo stove?
Solo stove, I think.
Where you burn wood, and then it heats stuff up, right?
Wood burn? No, it's solar.
He has that too. There's one where he throws sticks in it, and it does it too. It acts like a jet boil.
But it's like portable.
Yeah.
Oh. You just gotta bring wood with you, I guess. Or you go around someone's lawn and pick up all their sticks.
You could also do like a heat up packet, like you rub it together with
like hot hands.
Like a hot hand, like how it heats up with hot hands. It doesn't have to be like super hot, you just shake it up, and then it just gets warm.
And then all the food's just splattered everywhere. There's maybe a click. Have you seen those? The hot hands that there's just a little thing inside them, you click them and they heat up like rapidly.
Yeah. You like that. And the battery technology exists. It just doesn't exist to the extent we want it to.
Right. It would be a lot to have that in every Lunchable, unless you have one battery that you like keep and you like there's a place in the box that you like stick it in. And then when you're ready to heat it, you hit it, and then you remove the battery and charge it back up in the sun for your next lunch.
Gotcha. I'm thinking now, like, more and more that this heating up thing is probably not good because then we're just turning into a HelloFresh.
Yeah.
I really want it to be on the go.
Okay.
Mediterranean food definitely speaks to me here.
Okay. So does deli.
Deli food, yes. It can be like very fine meats. A little bit of capicola, prosciutto, salami, soprasada.
Salami expensive?
Ooh. Gabagool.
You're really good at saying meats.
Yeah. Asiago.
That's not a meat.
That's a cheese. But no. Parmesan.
A turkey.
Ricotta.
The thing about Lunchables is that they don't have to be refrigerated, though. If I'm imagining if we have fresh ingredients like meat, it would be different.
Oh, these would definitely that would be refrigerated. Okay.
Yeah, our target audience probably isn't to
this is the Whole Foods shopper. Like, that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't sell Lunchables at Whole Foods.
They might.
No.
Maybe jail way.
But they will.
Okay. Next up is the hook.
Okay.
You're going to have to sell it to me. What does the packaging look like? Is it like a charcuterie setting in there? What's it called? Like, how are you selling this to me? Why is it popping to my eyeball as the consumer?
What is the name? Let's think.
It can't be too, like, quick.
Gourmet to go.
It's good you know what it is.
It's gourmet.
Gourmet
go. Gourmet
go.
That's
gourmet
good.
Gourmet go.
Gourmet go. Go, go, gourmet.
Gourmet go?
Gourmet gotron.
No.
Go, go, gourmet.
It's a Decepticon.
Let's go, gourmet. Gourmet, let's go!
Something like that.
but yeah,
where it expresses what it's trying to do.
Yeah.
And catches your eye.
Right.
Which means it's going to need to have some sort of flare of the color to it. It can't be like a sullen green or a gray or a blue or anything like that. It's got to be a brighter color.
Definitely. I mean, it could be like green and yellow.
It could be green and yellow.
I'm going for the more like green, healthy thing to do. And I would probably also make all of the packaging instead of plastic. I would probably make it all like... What is it? Cornware or something like that?
It's decomposable.
Yeah. Well,
like...
Yeah, it's decomposable, but it's not going to, like, decompose in your hands in a rainstorm. Yeah. Biodegradable.
Compostable is fine. Like, it doesn't need to be completely biodegradable.
Yeah.
Is that the same
compostable
thing?
Compostable, cornware, greenware, bamboo, whatever, ware.
Yeah, so you're just getting...
Yeah.
You're getting some outside supplier to give you that, and then are you getting all of your stuff from, like, a farm supply chain? So are you working with specific people?
Okay, so you know how you can sign up for, like, in your local area, you can sign up for a, like, co-op thing where all these farms work together in your area, and you can go and pick up. They send you, like... People will send you a box of all vegetables and meats and cheeses from different farms.
A CSA.
CSA, yeah. It's like that.
No, I did not know that existed.
Okay, it does exist. It's really cool. Check it out. It's like a CSA, except for it's a CSA. It's our business is getting their own CSA. So like everyone sends in their products from farms, and we can go and evaluate each farm to see what the product's like, how long the shelf life is, how it holds up before we actually just stick it in a bunch of boxes and sell it with some expiration date that we don't really know how long it's going to last or not.
I mean, there's some science in there that you can figure out.
Definitely some science. Yeah, definitely. And
it's going to be ethically sourced.
Yeah, definitely. And but it would not just come from all one source. We're not talking about like the mass monopoly of Cisco or something like that. It's like all from
that's difficult to do too.
Farms.
Yeah,
it is difficult to do. That's why I'd say the farms themselves, we would actually go and check them all out.
We would have to do so many checks on a regular basis.
Yeah,
to make sure it wasn't outsourced to somewhere that would be more unethical. I think that's just the problem with food supply in general.
Yeah,
is that it's just so unethical and so bad for you.
Very true.
What I really like about this idea, though, is that I'm imagining that you would have different meals based on what's in season.
Yeah.
So you're making something that's easy to eat and assemble for your consumer, but they're also getting in-season food, and they're, like, seeing what meals they could make with, like, local and in-season food. And
you could definitely include recipes and stuff like that that go along with it from people, like, local people. I think it would almost have to be like a local operation to start out. Like if we got too big to go outside of a larger region, I think that's where we would lose focus.
Yeah.
Because getting the like from the top down, it just trickles down and the management styles change. And then somewhere down the line, someone's like, those eggs are, you know, being desanitized with bleach. Let's make sure that we use those eggs. And then we're like, don't use the bleach eggs.
Yeah.
Those I just get that hefty. I get that YouTube ad all the time.
The don't use the bleach eggs.
It's like
the eggs with poop on them. Those are the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. No, really. All our eggs will be ethically sourced from Science Steve.
Yeah. With a little bit of
poop on them all before we send them out.
Yes.
Yeah. options. I want it to be available for vegetarians, vegans, omnivores, carnivores.
Yes. I wouldn't say, though, that they're all going to be vegan, because that's a pretty hard market to
I would want get one into. Vegan option.
Yeah, and also I was thinking, like, a few of the Lunchables, they're not Lunchables, I should stop saying that, Gourmet Goes, would be coming from, like, other farms outside the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd mostly be locally sourced, but every now and then you could do limited edition boxes with things that are more exotic.
Mostly because if you're in an area for a certain amount of time, say wintertime where we are, there's not a lot of farms producing a lot of vegetation in the wintertime.
That's true. And I'd probably work, too, with a more local or smaller scale spice company that makes all their gourmet spices.
Mm-hmm.
Because those, you know, you don't have to worry about consistency with that.
You know the little med packets that we use?
Yes.
Put spice in there.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So, basically, deconstructed gourmet Lunchables that are ethically sourced from local farms that we supply into a region that is near us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a CSA, but it's prepackaged Lunchable style.
I'd say it's an easy sell, but it's a really hard to do.
And putting it in retailers, I think, would be what we would want out of that. So it would be available to the masses, not having to get on like a list to go and get delivered by hand.
Yeah. Well, it would be hard to do it large scale, but it may be.
We would have to do it with the retailers.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Yeah. What are... Okay. I'm ready to close out, but I also like close out this business.
Yeah.
Are any of these things that you're going to want to do, like any of the three businesses, are you going to ever want to pursue them?
For real?
Yeah.
Nope. I think that I'd want somebody else to pick them up. I always have so many things that I'm already doing that I don't feel like I would give myself enough time to really go into any of these businesses and devote all of my time towards them. It's more like fun ideas that I think I'd like to see happen and would like to be a part of and get to eat those, get to wear those things, you know?
Mo often has the same ideals.
Right.
Ricard is like, wants someone else to make it so he can use it.
Yeah.
Kai, did you know that I had a pitch? I also pitched a clothing option that's convertible sweaters to pants. So you can wear it as either. We could combine and make Cordelisse sweater pants.
That would be cool. So, but what if you're already wearing the pants?
You can't wear it as both at one time.
No,
but
you
could.
What I'm saying though, pants. What if you're already wearing the pants and then you get cold? Do you just pants it and then?
Yeah, you're gonna need two articles of clothing, one for your top and one for your bottom. But
sounds
it
like
they could be you could
dressing
just have two
normal
of the
same
with
thing. Extra steps.
Well, some days you could wear the jacket that you don't ever wear because you wear them as pants. And other days you wear your pants into the jacket.
What,
what if they were
calling that?
Also, yeah, that's a great idea. I was just gonna say if they were two-tone on inside and out too, so that like they were reversible.
Reverse, double reversible.
Yeah.
Reverse.
So you
reverse.
Could. That's really four articles of clothing in one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's close out this idea. I'm gonna give us 5 minutes to close out the show because we are running 10 minutes over.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You.
This is a special episode which we allocated an hour for, so.
Cool.
Cool. So should we say what we think about this idea?
Yeah. You go. Do your report.
Feasibility, I think it's going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
However, not, I think on a small scale, not undoable. I think you could do this on a small scale. I think the feasibility would, like the difficulty would be scaling it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're doing it local and you're communicating with all your farms, like it's going to be hard to be something that's going to be big. But I think, I think it would be very feasible on a small scale. So I will give you 10 out of 10 on feasibility for a small scale.
Like your local town.
Yeah.
Gotcha. 1 out of 10 for worldwide distribution.
That would be really hard.
Okay.
But it's super cool. That would be amazing. If you could get this to be a worldwide business where, like, everyone's, like, sourcing from their local farms and, like...
It has to be, like, all freeze-dried and go astronaut style on it.
Yeah. I think if you put the work into it, I honestly believe that you can make a good chunk of change. I think the marketability is there. I think Lunchables are garbage. And I think that market is ready to be seized. So if you're a listener, all these ideas are open, and you can take it and do it, and we're not going to stop you, but we will require you to use this for a sponsorship when you get big.
And we'll support you and be your biggest fans and talk about you on our podcast.
Yeah. Unless you go the unethical route, which we will denounce you and never talk about you again.
I also want a free subscription to the Lunchables.
Kai requires a subscription, subscription as the...
Gourmet Go guy.
Do you have dietary preferences that they'll want to know about?
No. Just load it up. That's all I ask. Also, let me get some corduroy fleece pants and jacket. And let me get those shoes because those are nice.
These were some good ideas. I think, honestly, like...
I also evaluate your Gourmet Go probably in the 7 figures.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, honestly. I could even look at what Lunchables makes a year and just tell you, like, that's probably what you'll make.
Whatever Lunchables makes, you will
make probably
that
make
for
like
sure. 100%.
Figures, to be honest. I don't know.
They're actually, they're not making money. They're doing it just as a passion project.
Yeah. It's all non-profit.
They made $125 million last year.
Oh. But that was in 2021 during the large Lunchable shortage.
Oh yeah, what did they make in 2020?
Okay. that's that. I don't know what the Instagram post is going to be. I think I'm going to have you hide somewhere in the house and see, like do like a high spy kind of thing.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
You got a Where's Waldo shirt?
Oh, yes.
Liam's got some.
Okay, cool.
Liam, get your Waldo shirt! yeah, this has been an excellent special episode. Nice episode to come back to after 2 weeks. Again, all of our socials is Spoonhats Podcast, Instagram, and the email is somethingonspoonhats@gmail.com. Anything else you want to say, Kyle? Want to say some nice words and gratitude?
Thanks for having me. I'm going to try and come up with some more ideas and maybe I can come back.
Yeah,
that'd absolutely be sweet. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Shout outs? Kyle, you want to shout anybody out in the great, wonderful world?
Shout out to all the guys always asking me for money when I'm driving my car around. You guys will make it one day. I believe in you.
What?
You know.
Okay. Well.
I want to shout out to my father, Itamar, for being our first person to send us an email at our email account, sellmeonspoonhats@gmail.com.
And I want to shout out Erin L., because she said that she really enjoyed the sweater pants episode, and I hope that you enjoy this episode when you get the chance to listen while you're either rollerblading or swing dancing.
I know she swung dance as well as rollerblading.
Both at the same time.
Whoa.
Dang.
That's true. Aaron, you are cool. Invite me to your swing dance rollerblading.
Yeah, invite me to your party.
That gets on Tuesdays.
Ooh,
it's a rough day to do that.
It is a rough day.
Cool. I'm Tim.
I'm Mo.
I'm Kaya.
And this is
Sell Me on Spoon Hats. Bye-bye.